If you've got your Bible with you, we're turning to Romans chapter 10 this afternoon. Romans chapter 10. I'd like to say a word of thanks while you're looking that up to Mr. Johnson in his session for the invite to come and to share with you this week. And I certainly have appreciated that. Also good always to renew fellowship with Mr. Johnson, a man of kindred faith. Now, Hussein, it's about 20 years, actually, since I started in the prison. Actually, it's 31. And of course, Mr. Smiley can verify that because he has been in Hyde Bank that length of time as well. So we have truly done a life sentence. He was also saying you're very welcome in Ballygowan and Donaghadee and all the rest of it. You're very welcome in Omagh. And that'll give you a little bit extra time, for it's not until 7:30. We're out in the west. The crops come in later in the west because we get a lot of water. And so they have to have the church services even later. They're at 12, but that suits me getting back from the prison. And then at 7:30 at night. But it's been good to be here, and I trust that we haven't stolen too much time each night. A few nights maybe we crossed the line a little, but we'll try to stick to time this afternoon because it's afternoon, isn't it? And if you weren't here, where would you be? You'd be in the land of Nod with Cain. That's where you would be. So we don't want you to go there until you get home. I'm going to read a few verses. Romans chapter 10 and the verse 9. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "And that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We'll end our Bible reading there, and God again will add his blessing to it. Can we just ask for the Lord's help? Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this thy day, and we rejoice in the return of the Christian Sabbath. We thank you for the privileges that we have on this day of meeting with your people around your word and your house and with thyself. And we pray that you'll give us Mary's portion this afternoon as she sat at the Savior's feet and heard his word. And our Father, we pray that you will give us that alertness of mind. Grant that this afternoon our hearts will be turned to Jesus. And our Father, for any who may not know thee, that today they'll call, and that you might save them by your grace, that the joy of heaven will be their portion. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to take as our text the words that are recorded in that very last verse that we read together, the verse 13, as we look at the wonder of God's of the gospel of Christ. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That is a remarkable statement made by the Apostle Paul, drawing that, of course, from the Old Testament in Joel chapter 2 and verse 32. For there again we read, "For it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered." It is one of the great gospel invitations in the Bible, God's pledge and God's promise to those who will call upon him in faith and turn to him in repentance of sin. The text, of course, sets forth the wonder of the gospel. And I want to draw your thoughts to three simple things as time is moving on. There's first of all the scope of the gospel here. Whosoever shall call. The gospel call, of course, is all embracing. It is invitation. The word whosoever does not exclude you or me. It's an invitation to people of every class and every creed and every color. Could I suggest to you, first of all, it is a call to the religious. Jesus singled out one of the most religious individuals in his day and said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, there are many people who are very, very religious, but at the same time, they do not know Christ as Savior. It was the late Reverend Mann of Knocknamuckley Parish Church outside Portadown, leaning across his pulpit one Sabbath morning. He said to his congregation, there are many of you gathered here today, and you are very, very religious, but at the same time, sadly, you are very, very sinful. A person could be religious, but not saved. And Nicodemus was to discover that. And sometimes, folk, it is religious people that are very difficult to reach with the gospel of Christ. After I came out of the Faith Mission Bible College, they sent me away down into the south of Ireland, very far down. They probably thought that might be the safest. We put up a big 200-seater tent and then discovered there's only 6 Protestant homes in the community. That was either an act of folly or an act of great faith. But God moved and people were saved. I remember knocking a door one day, and a woman, just as I came up to the door, she was brushing out the hallway. It had lino on the floor. She was brushing out the hallway. I told her who I was and what I was doing and gave her an invite to come to the mission. She said, I really wouldn't have the time to come. Because she was going to something in the church on the Monday and something in the church on the Tuesday and something in the church on the Wednesday. In fact, she was out of the church every night. But it wasn't long until we discovered that she did not know the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. Now, of course, I was very young and very inexperienced and sometimes not the most wise, and my wife is inclined to think even that maybe a little today. Always taught that when you're preparing a sermon to try to put it in some sort of organized way and try to go for some alliteration in it. And in the course of the conversation, she was very defiant that she didn't need to be saved. And I said to her, has it ever dawned upon your heart or your darkened, deceived and deluded soul, I got the D's right, that you would be on the way to a lost eternity? It didn't go down too well, folks, because she took the brush and she went for me with the brush and she wheeled it at me and she buried it in the doorpost above my head. And I thought to myself, what do you do now? You see, there were no lectures in the college that told you how to deal with that. And I live by a very simple philosophy, folks. I don't believe there's any great future for a dead hero. But I do believe there's some future for a living card. And so I just turned and run away. And I trust that she has met the Lord and that I'll meet her again. But this is a call to religious people, because many religious people, while they have time for the church and time for religiosity and everything else, they have no time for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not only a call to the religious, but it's a call to the reckless. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 15 the story of the prodigal son, a young man whose life was going in the wrong direction. Maybe there's someone here, your life's going in the wrong direction. Going in a direction far from what you were taught. Maybe you were brought up with the Sabbath school here or somewhere else, and you were taught to go to the house of God. You were taught right from wrong, taught to revere God's word, respect God's day. But somehow you've gone your own way, done your own thing, become your own person, and you have shut that all out of your life. But you know, like Nicodemus, who eventually came to Christ, the prodigal, on one occasion said, I'll arise and go to my father's house. And he came and was wonderfully received. It's also a call to the rebellious, and that is seen in the life and testimony of the notorious Saul of Tarsus. In fact, it is he who is writing here that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And of course, Saul of Tarsus was a man who had hatred in his heart against the gospel of Christ and against the Christ of the gospel and against everybody who named the name of Christ. The Bible says he entered into people's house, he dragged them out, he brought false charges against them, he put them into prison, he made havoc of the church, and when Stephen was being put to death, there he was involved in it. And the Bible says that when that crime was carried out, they laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Saul had murder in his heart. Yet the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't matter what the past sins have been. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. That the vilest offender who truly believes this moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Richard Baxter, great Puritan of the past, he said, I'm glad that the verse says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, if I had read that if Richard Baxter shall call upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved, I would not have believed that, for I would have believed that God was speaking about some other Richard Baxter. But I'm glad he uses the word whosoever, therefore that means me. And friend, that means you tonight. Whosoever means me. But there's not only the scope of the gospel here, but the simplicity of the gospel. Whosoever shall call. Now that is something that all of us understand this evening. When the Philippian jailer had his world turned upside down, and sometimes God turns our world upside down for a purpose to bring us to the realization of our need of Jesus Christ. And my friend, you may be here without Christ and with little interest in your soul's salvation. Remember this, God could turn your world upside down. And God turned his world upside down and fear gripped his heart. And he ran out to the apostles and he said, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe. It is the same as calling upon the name of the Lord. How simple is the way of salvation? Let us not complicate it. It's not what you have to do or anything else. All has been done at the place called Calvary. The price of your sin has been paid. The sacrifice has been made. The blood has been shed. Now God says in Christ, whosoever shall call. My friend, have you ever called upon the name of the Lord? You remember Peter out walking on the water, and he began to sink because he took his eyes off the Lord and looked around him and saw the storm. And he cried out for the Lord to save him. And the Lord reached out, and immediately Peter was saved there in those circumstances. A dying thief on the cross. A man dying for crimes that he had committed. In a few moments he's going to be in eternity. In a few moments he's going to be in a lost eternity. And the Bible says from the cross, he cried out to the Savior. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And there and then Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Instantaneous conversion. One moment he was hanging a lost soul on the cross. The next moment he's a sea of soul. One moment he's on the road to a lost eternity. The next moment he's on the road to God's heaven. My friend, if you would call in simple faith and true repentance, you could be saved in this meeting and saved for all eternity. We need to call. We need to call with urgency. We need to call now. And that I say for this reason, because our life is short. We have emphasized in the past that we know not what a day shall bring forth. We know not what shall be on the morrow. For our life is like a vapor appearing for a little time, and then it vanishes away. Here we are in the comfort of this service this afternoon. Tomorrow we could be in God's eternity. You remember the words of Isaiah to King Hezekiah, "Set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." My friend, have you set your house in order spiritually? You may have set your house in order as far as material things are concerned, and you may have made your will, and there's nothing wrong with that. It'll not shorten your life, by the way. But have you set your house in order spiritually? How is it with you and God? Have you called upon the Lord? Job said, "That man that is born of a woman is of few days, and full of trouble, coming forth like a flower, continuing not, fleeing as a shadow." And our life, the Bible reminds us, swifter than a weaver's shuttle, like water spilt upon the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Here today, eternity tomorrow. We need to call with urgency because our life is short. We need to call with urgency because death is sure. The Bible says, "It is appointed unto man once to die." A Christian man, working shoulder to shoulder with a self-professed atheist. And every time the Christian man went to speak to him about his soul's salvation, he said, "You needn't waste your breath talking to me. I'm an atheist and I don't believe." But that did not put the Christian man off. Until one day, that atheist said to the Christian man, "I don't believe a word of the Bible, not a single word." And then the Christian man said, "Well, what about Hebrews 9 and 27? But he says, "What about Hebrews 9 and 27? What does that say?" And the Christian man says, "Well, that says, and it's appointed unto man once to die." Lo and behold, the atheist had discovered there was a verse in the Bible he actually believed. Friend, whatever men believe or don't believe, everybody believes this, that one day we'll die. You'll not get through a week. You'll not lift a newspaper any day of any week and discover, lo and behold, there are no death notices. Because every day people die. It's recorded in the World Book of Facts that 153,000 people die in the world every day. And one day you will be one of those people and I will be one of those people. But my friend, how then will it be with you in eternity? Where will you be 5 minutes after your death? But the Bible not only says, "It's appointed unto man once to die." Therefore, we need to call because life is short. We need to call on the Lord because death is sure. But we need to call on the Lord because eternity is real. It's appointed unto man once to die. But after this, there's something after this. You know, people say today that when we die, the chapter's finished, the book is closed. That's the end. Well, the Bible says differently. It says after this. And my friend, I want you to think about the after this. Where you will be. After the wake is over. After the funeral is over. When people have paid their respects. And your remains have been lowered into Mother Earth. And everybody has left the cemetery. Tell me, where will you be then in eternity? Because the Bible says, after this, there is something after this. There's something beyond the grave. There is an eternity to face. After this, Hebrews says, the judgment. That's something maybe we don't like to think about. And I don't believe that those who have called upon the Lord for salvation and have found Him will ever stand before the great white throne of judgment Because our sins have been dealt with in Christ, they're gone. They're in the sea of His forgetfulness. They'll never be remembered against us again forever. They're away from us as far as the east is from the west. But my friend, if you die without Christ, you'll be brought to the great white throne of judgment to give an account of every sin that you've ever committed. Sins of childhood days, sins of teenage years, sins of young manhood and young womanhood, the sins of the middle years of life, and sins of old age, sins that you have long forgotten about. But God keeps a record of our life, the Bible says. And there is the book of words, and there is the book of works, and there is the book of secrets. What a moment when God blows the lid of all man's secret sins. There, every sin has got to be accounted for. Therefore, my friend, in the light of a coming judgment, you should flee from the wrath to come. You should call today upon the Lord so that you never stand before Him to give an account of your sin. There are people who are forever telling us, God's a God of love. He's not going to send anybody to hell. I want to say to you at this moment, God's not sending you to hell. But sin will take you there. For the soul that sinneth it shall die. Now I believe that the justice of God will demand that one day. But this day, God is not sending you to hell. He's telling you to call upon Him and be saved. And to do it now with urgency. Lest you slip into eternity in your sin. Oh, there is something after the grave. There's something after death. Eternity is real. John said it as God threw back the curtains of heaven and let the apostle John look right into heaven. And he said, I saw the dead. And he said, I saw the dead, great and small, stand before God. And he said, the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. He says the sea gave up its dead. Death and hell delivered up their dead. And they were judged every man according to his works. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Friend, is your name in the book of life? Sometimes we're very concerned about where and on what roll our names are recorded. But are you sure your name is on God's rule book? Is your name written there? On that page, white and fair, in the book of God's kingdom, is your name written there? Have you ever called in faith and true repentance upon the Lord? But let me just conclude, folks, with this thought. The comfort of the gospel. For he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Some people don't like the word saved. Talking to a man one day. He's having a mission. He's asking this man, would he come to the meetings? Well, he says, there's a man in that house down there thinks the way you'd think. What way would I think? But I knew exactly what he was saying. The Bible says we must be saved. The Bible doesn't call us to turn over a new leaf or make a new beginning or have a fresh start. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's not optional. It's imperative. It's a must in your life. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must
be born again. He says we must be saved.
I wonder, friend, are you saved? And here is the great comfort of the gospel, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a guarantee. Sometimes we buy things and they give us a guarantee. Why they really bother, I'm not sure. You get 7-year guarantees with cars now. You discover the part that broke in your car didn't cover that.
But here is the guarantee, that whosoever shall call shall be saved. There is the promise of salvation. What a promise. The Lord says in John 10, 28 and 29, I give unto them. And that's what salvation is the gift of God. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life. And Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. What a guarantee. Neither shall any man pluck you out of my hand, he says. And my Father is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. There is a double guarantee. Friend, call today. And here is the promise. You shall be saved. There's not only the promise of salvation, but the privilege of salvation.
What a joy to be saved. Christian, aren't you glad you're saved? Wouldn't like to live this day without Christ. Lest today would call me into eternity. And the great privilege of salvation is pardon from sin and peace with God. And the assurance of heaven within our heart. The Apostle Paul, after he had been converted in the Damascus Road, said, I know whom I have believed. And my friend, you can know today you're saved. You can be sure. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Sin will bring sorrow into your life. And sin may even bring suffering into your life. And if it's not repented of, it will in eternity bring suffering. And sin brings shame into your life.
But God's salvation will bring joy and peace and the glorious prospect of heaven.
I'm sure you're familiar with the story of Mel Trotter, drunkard. Used any money he earned on alcohol, so much so that his wife and children had to go without much because of his drinking habits. One day his little boy fell seriously ill. And the doctor came, prescribed medication. His wife, of course, had to hide away some money to keep the family together and buy food for the table. And she gave him money to go and buy medicine for the child. And he took the money, but he didn't go to the pharmacist. He went to the pub and he drank the money. Got himself stoshes drunk. And when he sobered up, his child was dead. Now it broke his heart.
But he could not break the shackles of sin that bound him.
And a kind neighbor bought a little pair of red shoes for the child to put on his coffin. Mel Trotter came in and looked in that coffin and saw the little red shoes. His heart was broken.
slipped the little red shoes of the child's feet and put them in his pocket. He went out and sold them and got drunk. And when he sobered up, the funeral was over. Missed his child's funeral.
And sin had bound and chained and mastered and fettered and controlled his life. Till one day God gloriously saved. He simply called on the Lord and was gloriously saved and went out and started rescue shops for people who lived in the bondage and tyranny of sin that he had lived in.
You say today, sin will not take me there. And that may be true. But friend, if you don't call on the Savior and obey this text, sin will take you further. For sin always takes us further than we want to go, keeps us longer than we want to stay, makes us pay more than we want to pay. And friend, if you don't obey this text, call upon the Savior, sin will take you to hell. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing to go from a gospel mission to a lost eternity? Wouldn't it be a terrible thing to go to a lost eternity for Ulster, who has been cradled in the gospel? Surely hell for an Ulster man or woman be hell 10,000 times over. And all the Lord's asking you to do is call. Thou shalt be saved. Friend, would you call? Would you call today? Would you call now? There's an urgency in the matter of your soul's salvation. Call. Call today. Call now. Thou shalt be saved. Let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the simplicity of the gospel of Christ and God's way of salvation. We thank you for all that Christ has done at Calvary, shedding his blood, paying the ransom price of all our sin, dying the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to thee. And our Father, we pray that this night you'll help men and women and young person or anyone who knows thee not just to simply call and be saved. Give that deciding grace. Draw hearts savingly to yourself. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.